السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
After reciting the Tashahud, Tawuz, Tasmiyah and Surah Fatiha, Hazrat Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ayyadahu Allah Ta'ala bin Nasir al-Aziz said, whenever I have the opportunity to sit with representatives of the world press, as well as non-Muslims, and whenever I get the opportunity for questions and answers, or to converse with them, they most certainly ask this question in one way or another, be it directly or indirectly, that what is the reason for the fear of Islam in the world, and how can this be removed? Some say it openly, whereas others do so implicitly, and they intend to say that the reason for this is perhaps the teaching of Islam. Hence, even on this occasion, a journalist in Germany raised this question that the fear of Islam in Germany is increasing. Furthermore, she said in a sympathetic manner towards us, that consequently the local people who are non-Muslims also commit injustices towards Muslims. She asked, what is your response to this and what reaction do you show? This is nothing new, and this question has been raised many times before as well. This very question opens our paths of tabligh, i.e. propagating the true message of Islam. If this fear is increasing, it is due to some so-called Muslim groups or individuals committing ruthless acts and carrying out terrorist attacks in the name of Islam. The reactions or the concerns of the non-Muslims are also justified in that they are developing a fear of Muslims. However, our reaction is not a negative one. I always tell them that such groups and individuals are emerging due to the wrong training of scholars or so-called scholars. and due to not understanding the true teachings of Islam. This is exactly in line with the prophecy of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. At such a time, it was prophesied that the promised Messiah and Mahdi would appear, who was to spread the true teachings of Islam in the world. And according to our belief, the founder of the Ahmadiyya community is that promised one, about whom this prophecy refers to. Thus, our response is in accordance with the teachings of the promised Messiah alayhi salam that he imparted to us, which are to spread the peaceful and harmonious message of Islam. Thus, we are acting in accordance with these teachings everywhere in the world. Indeed, owing to the concerns that have developed here in the West with regards to the teachings of Islam, due to the actions of extremist groups as well as terrorist attacks in non-Muslim countries, we will have to strive harder to remove these concerns. And in fact, we are doing this. The promised Messiah alayhi salam has told us that every kind of extremism, terrorism and cruelty is against the teachings of Islam. The promised Messiah alayhi salam informed us that since the day this world was created, the truthful ones of every nation have testified to the fact that adopting the attributes of God Almighty is the elixir of life necessary for human existence. Adopt the qualities and attributes of Allah the Exalted, as only then human life can prevail. The promised Messiah alayhi salam continues by saying, the physical and spiritual existence of man is dependent upon adopting every divine attribute of God, which are the fountainhead of serenity. Thus, Allah the Exalted, who is the fountain of peace, desires this from a Muslim, and this is the very command of the Holy Quran, that his attributes and qualities are adopted. The promised Messiah alayhi salam states, God Almighty instigated that the Holy Quran begin with this very verse, which is found in Surah Al-Fatiha, which is Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, i.e. every perfect and pure attribute is exclusive to God, who is the Lord of all the worlds. He continues to say, every nation of every country found in every era is included in the word Alam. He further says, thus, without any discussion, it is worthy to note that the true and perfect God, believing in whom is obligatory upon every person, is the Lord of all the worlds. And his rububiyat, i.e. lordship, is not confined to any specific nation, era, or country. Rather, he is the Lord of every nation, the Lord of every era, the Lord of every place, and he is the Lord of every country. He is the fountainhead of every blessing, and every physical and spiritual might originates from him. Everything that exists is nourished by him, and he is the support for every being. Thus, this is the elaboration and explanation of the attributes of Rabbul Alameen. The Promised Messiah ﷺ says, thus, since these are the qualities of our God, it is appropriate for us to also follow these qualities. A true Muslim should adopt these attributes and qualities. Hence, this is the knowledge and understanding of the Holy Quran, which the Promised Messiah alayhi salam has bestowed to us. This is the remedy which is essential in order to spread peace and harmony in the world. This is the very aspect which can lay the foundation of reconciliation in the world, and this is the message which the members of the Ahmadiyya community endeavor to spread to every corner of the world, and indeed they should endeavor to do so. Thus, if the deeds or actions of some people in the name of Islam are aimed at creating chaos and disorder in the world, it is not due to the teaching which Allah the Exalted has given to Muslims. Rather, it is due to becoming distant from that teaching and due to rejecting the appointed messenger of Allah of this era and the true servant of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thus, in light of these teachings, when we explain to the world the path that leads to peace, brotherhood, reconciliation and tranquility, most pious-natured non-Muslims unequivocally state that these teachings of Islam are indeed very beautiful. Hence, this was expressed on various functions during the tour of mine to Germany as well. It was expressed on the occasion of the opening of mosques and laying the foundation stone. On one of the mosque opening ceremonies in a city called Waldshut, where a mosque has recently been constructed, a doctor from another city, Basel, was present. He said, "It has been my desire throughout my life to meet peaceful Muslims. Today, you people have fulfilled this desire of mine. I consider myself to be very fortunate to encounter you all." An Italian lady was also present who attended the program with her friend. She said that my friend was afraid to attend this program as he harbored negative sentiments about Islam. However, after attending the program and listening to the address of the Imam of the Ahmadiyya community, his perspective regarding Islam had changed completely, so much so that he immediately messaged a Muslim friend of his using his mobile and said, "Today I have come to know how beautiful your religion is." Then, three very educated Bosnian ladies also attended this event. Whilst expressing their feelings, they said that, "Given the current climate, today's program is like a beacon that can be used to establish peace." In the address of the Imam of the community, he emphasized love and fulfilling the rights of one's neighbors. One of the guests said, "I too had the opportunity to gain some blessings from this gathering of yours, and it was an honor to be here." Had I not come here today, I would have certainly been deprived of something magnificent. I have been introduced to that true Islam through the Ahmadiyya community, which is in complete contrast to the Islam of hatred and extremism seen on the TV. Here I have received peace and love, not only through mere words, but I have met such people who practically do not wish for any hatred. Thus, the personal conduct of every Ahmadi also serves as a silent tabligh, i.e. preaching the message. Then another guest expressed his views in the following words. Until today, I thought that we all believed in one God, but the various religions have chosen their own pathways. However, upon coming here today, I have found out that all religions have a similar path. The head of the Ahmadiyya community has explained this very beautifully. He added, I like the fact that he distanced himself from other Muslim extremists like ISIS, etc., in very clear terms, and informed us that they have no connection to the Islamic teachings. It is a clear fact that you are not liable for the regretful events that are taking place in the world in the name of Allah the Almighty. Rather, such people are blameworthy who misinterpret or misrepresent this teaching. He then said, It is the duty of all of us to stand against this strife with love and brotherhood. He further added, I very much liked when you said that no individual can be a believer in God if he is involved in any sort of killing or destruction, because in some respect, killing of an innocent means that the faith in God is being butchered. Our well-mannered Ahmadi children are also exerting a positive influence on their local environment. Regarding this, one of the lady guests said the following while expressing her views. I owe you gratitude at the fact that my children have Ahmadi friends. Since my children have formed a friendship with Ahmadi children, I have observed a positive and good change in them. Due to this, I wanted to inquire about your teachings. After coming here today, I have ascertained that my children are in the company of good friends and are safe. Thus, this silent tabligh, which is taking place due to the children, puts an onus upon Ahmadi parents to continue to raise their standards of moral training, and also to pray for them, so that Ahmadi children always continue to exert a pious influence on others and safeguard themselves from the evils of the society. It is this pious influence which, God willing, will play a role in spreading the message of the true Islam in the future. When these non-Muslim children will grow older in the company of Ahmadi children, and as long as they change their mindset in line with the Islamic teachings, God willing, many among those non-Muslim children will enter the fold of Ahmadiyyat. Likewise, Augsburg is the second city where a mosque was inaugurated. Due to being a large city, many intellectuals and politicians were also in attendance. Whilst expressing his views, one such guest said, This is a truly beautiful message which is being communicated. It is my desire that your message should reach the majority of the people in Islamic countries. It would enable peace to be established on a wider scale. Alas, if only the Muslim people and Muslim countries understand that the second emergence of Islam was to be undertaken by the hands of the ardent devotee of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, They would understand that they must join with him in becoming his helper and supporter, rather than creating hurdles and opposition out of enmity. Whilst expressing her views, a German school teacher said, "I had been unable to answer the questions of the children at my school regarding Islam, because all that is portrayed in the media is in complete contrast to the teachings of Islam. From today's address by the head of the Ahmadiyya community, I have procured more material, and now I will be able to introduce my students to the true teachings of Islam." Then another lady said, "The words of your Khalifa have left a profound impact on my heart. I was unaware that the teachings of Islam are so beautiful. After listening to these words, the question that arises in my mind is, why has Islam acquired such a torrid reputation, despite such beautiful teachings? I pray that your interpretation of Islam spreads and reaches all the people." A professor from the University of Augsburg said, "Whatever the head of the Ahmadiyya community has said, if that is in fact your true teachings, then you will prosper greatly." The person mentioning this incident then said, "The esteemed professor was so impressed that he offered us to hold an exhibition in the university and expressed his desire for the community to become more prominent in the public and for his message to reach everyone." One of the guests said, "Today we have been informed about two topics, and all of us are in dire need of them. Not only have solutions been put forward from a religious point of view, but also from a secular point of view. He further stated, "It is very true that if we live by openness, love and tolerance, then these reservations will disappear." Similarly, another guest said, "I have been very impressed that on the one hand, it is being portrayed that Islam teaches hatred, but on the contrary, here the Muslims are discussing peace." One guest said, "One aspect of the address that left a deep impression with me is the extent to which Islam emphasizes tolerance. This was my first interaction with the community, and the two events were excellent and very cordial. Subsequently, my interest has increased, and I will try now to visit your mosque and learn more about you on the internet." A female doctor said, "The address had a great impact on me, as it was the speech that moved my heart, in particular the message of peace and love. If every one of us becomes one who takes care of their neighbors, as is taught in Islam, the world would become a much better place." A woman then said, "What I particularly found good was the attention drawn towards fulfilling the rights of one's neighbors. If we follow even a part of this message, then the world will become a far more peaceful place." A Turkish guest associated with the police, expressing his sentiments, said, "I am greatly impressed by today's event and the address. If you continue to convey the message of Islam in the same manner everywhere, you will be very successful in the near future. I am from the police, but I have never seen such organized and disciplined arrangements anywhere else. I have learned a great deal from these arrangements." A guest at the event at the foundation stone ceremony for the mosque in Raunheim said, "Coming here really felt like coming to our own place with familiar people. I have had the opportunity to attend many Christian events, but I have never felt so welcome like here. Christians can learn a great deal from this."
Okay.
Thus, for a Christian to acknowledge that Christians can derive much from us, in particular relating to morals, is a huge thing. This should give greater confidence to our youth, who should never feel embarrassed in any way. They do not need to shy away from showing others that they are Muslims. Rather, they should tell the world about the true Islam. Then another guest from the mosque foundation stone ceremony in Ronheim said, "The Khalifa informed us about the state of affairs in the world in a very effective manner. He especially portrayed the peaceful teachings of Islam to us." One guest said, "I have come to a Jamaat event for the first time. It feels as if the Jamaat has made its own mark in Ronheim, and now I am eager in anticipation for your mosque to be built so that I can see it." Either people oppose us or they wait keenly for the mosque to be built. One of the guests who was in attendance had certain reservations in regarding to peace and the rights of women. He also had a question about the role of the Khalifa for establishing peace. However, once he had heard the address, he said, "The speech has addressed all the points which I had in my mind, and all my reservations have been removed." He further said, "You people are the ambassadors of peace, and the rest of the Muslims all need to adhere to your teachings." He further added, "I will try my utmost to spread your message within my own social circles." A Syrian friend expressing his sentiments said, "I feared that perhaps the non-Muslims will come here and cause disruption to the event." However, he then stated, "But you have presented the teachings of Islam in a far better manner than the rest of the Muslims." He further stated, "Today, the head of the Ahmadiyya community has presented the true teachings of Islam. This was the first time ever I have participated in an event organized by Ahmadis. I will now seek further information about the Jamaat, and maybe one day I might even do the bayt, i.e. the oath of initiation, and enter this community." He also said, "Prior to coming here, I was told that Ahmadis have a different Quran, but today this has all been proven false." Another guest said, "This was the first time I had the opportunity to attend an event organized by the Ahmadiyya community. Prior to this, I had very little knowledge of the community, but I have been greatly impressed. Most of the times, mosques are associated with extremism. However, today I have learnt that there is no reality to this. I am extremely delighted that a mosque is going to be constructed here, and this will be an abode for peace." Another lady said, "It is the first time I have attended an event of the Ahmadiyya community, and there is an extremely peaceful atmosphere. Whatever has been said has been about love, tolerance, and peace, and I am extremely impressed by this." Marburg is a city in which the foundation stone was laid for the mosque. A lady who also attended the function said, "I have been greatly impressed with the message in regards to the rights of one's neighbors. As a Christian, I wish that Christianity should also adopt this teaching." Another guest commented, "The status of women, which has been presented in your address, is an extremely beautiful religious teaching. I also liked the balance in the status of men and women, and also in respect to their rights, which I saw here." The Lord Mayor, expressing his sentiments, said, "It is extremely regrettable that so many allegations are leveled against Muslims, and the Muslims have to provide the proofs and arguments in their responses. However, if someone from the West or a Christian was to perpetrate an act of cruelty, for instance, in Norway, an individual carried out a killing in the name of Christianity, yet no one says that it is the religion that should be blamed." Mrs. Julia, one of the guests that attended, said, "The overall function was delightful. I enjoyed the part of the speech where it was mentioned that if one does not fulfill the rights of others, then worshipping God has no value." She further stated, "Prior to coming here, I held this belief that Islam was a religion that endorsed fundamentalism and extremism. However, this speech today has removed all my negative sentiments towards Islam. I am now more aware of the Islamic teachings of peace and love." Another lady guest said, "In this dark climate, this message was a radiant light shining bright in the sky. And when you, i.e. His Holiness, spoke about humanity, it brought tears to my eyes." One gentleman from Marburg said, "I was most impressed by the part of the speech in which religious tolerance was mentioned. I am not aware of any other religion that adheres to this teaching. Every religion is confined to their beliefs alone and does not encourage building relations with people of other faiths." A government official from Marburg said, "Being a Christian, fulfilling the rights of your neighbor, an injunction which mentioned in Islam, is a teaching that is very important to me. A member of staff belonging to the mayor's office said, "All of the matters that I hoped would be discussed were mentioned today." An elderly guest stated prior to my arrival that he had an appointment at 6:30, at which point he would leave. When the program began, he started listening using headphones. Then, during my speech, he realized that it was time to leave. As a result, he removed the headphones and stood up to leave. He then reconsidered and sat down again and listened to the entire speech. Thus, sometimes events unfold in this manner. In fact, often it is the case that when we try even a small amount, God Almighty wishes to convey the message to certain people, and He forcefully conveys this message to them. There were a number of people such as this. I have only presented a few examples. Similarly, a Finnish woman attended this gathering with her 9-year-old son. She said, "I have brought my youngest son along with me. It is my heartfelt desire that he also listens to what you say, and that he partakes from your teachings and becomes a pious individual like you all." She further stated, "I was extremely impressed with the address, and in my view, this is the true teachings of Islam, and all the other Muslims should follow this. I was particularly impressed when the Islamic perspective regarding tolerance and fulfilling the rights of one's neighbors was presented. Your message and your teachings can never be wrong." She went on to add, "I now wish that one of the imams or anyone from your Jamaat could teach my 9-year-old son to read the Holy Quran. I want him to read the Holy Quran and become a pious person. Thus, one can be inspired to such an extent. But is this simply owing to man's efforts? Indeed, it is Allah the Almighty who inspires this transformation in one's disposition. And it is our duty now to benefit from this and strive to bring people closer to God Almighty. However, before doing so, we must also assess our own conditions and do our utmost in order to seek the nearness of Allah the Almighty." Another lady also spoke about the importance of neighbors. She said, I really like the teachings of Islam, and as a Christian, I wish that we also had the teachings like this. Then another lady said, the manner in which the head of the Ahmadiyya community explained the rights of women was far better than those cultures wherein the rights of women are usurped. There were countless comments from the events, and I've only selected a few from among them. Similarly, the functions also received extensive press and media coverage. On the inauguration of the Bayt al-Afiyat Mosque, a TV channel and two newspapers covered the event. The TV channel that covered the event in Bayt al-Afiyat Mosque is a national television station, and it is said that it has an audience of 2.2 to 2.3 million. Particularly those who listen to its news reports. Similarly, at the inauguration of the Bayt al-Nasir Mosque in Augsburg, three TV channels, four radio stations and 18 newspapers covered the event. This is a large city, and it is reported that over 30 million people received the news of the mosque's inauguration, and also the message of Islam through the radio channels and newspapers. The foundation stone for mosques were laid in two cities of Germany, i.e. Raunheim and Marburg. These functions also received coverage from a TV channel and 22 newspapers. And through both the TV channel and newspaper, around 20 million people received the news of the foundation stone laying ceremony of the mosques. The total media coverage from all the mosques through the various TV channels, radio stations and newspapers amounts to 54 outlets and 136 news reports. According to one estimate, the total coverage has reached out to 39 million people. By the grace of Allah the Almighty, the Tabligh department in Germany is very active, and the other auxiliary organizations also work very well throughout the year. The number of people who receive the message of Islam during the course of the year is also in millions. As a result of this, there is also opposition, which is increasing, particularly in the eastern part of Germany. However, despite this, we must continue to spread our message, God willing. When I travel on tours, I also briefly mention some of the reports of those countries. By the grace of Allah the Almighty, a lot of work is happening here in the UK also. Since I do not go on any particular tours here, and therefore I do not mention its reports, and so perhaps some people may assume that no work is happening here. In fact, the efforts to spread the true teachings of Islam are also being carried out here on a large scale. The Department for Tabligh and also the various auxiliary organizations are all working by the grace of Allah. Particularly in regards to Hazrat Muslim Maud's book on the life of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, which in English is Life of Muhammad, and has been distributed the most compared to anywhere else. And the Ansarullah, i.e. the auxiliary organization for men over 40, have played a very significant role in this. Similarly, many other books have also been distributed widely here, and the Jamaat has been introduced, and in fact, Islam has been introduced all over the world as a result of the various functions that have been centrally organized here. Therefore, Ahmadis of the UK Jamaat may well look at the programs and progress of other Jamaats in the world with admiration and praise, but they should not think that no work is being done here. Some people who do not participate in as many programs and functions here may think that we are well behind, but that is not the case. By the grace of Allah the Almighty, a lot of good work is being done here also. For instance, the peace conference which was held in March, and through this the message of Islam was conveyed to not only the people of UK, but all over the world. I feel that the comments and the reflections of people attending this event should also be read out, as they have not been mentioned previously. A church warden attended the peace symposium and said, "This was an extremely captivating and powerful message. It was a message about unity, and this is something that our society needs." I also liked the fact that the head of the community quoted a verse from the Holy Quran and said that followers of different religions should focus on those things that unite them. This is something that is very possible to act upon, and people who do not follow any religion can also be included in this. Today, I have learnt about the commonalities that exist between Islam and Christianity. I also like the significance of the meaning of prayer, wherein the five prayers are obligatory. However, these are of no avail if one does not serve mankind. Then a nurse, Fiona Sahiba, says, "The head of the Ahmadiyya community has proved that Islam is a religion which has not been properly understood, and the extremists wrongfully use it as a veil to hide behind." I also liked the fact that at the start of his address, he condemned the attacks that took place in London and clearly stated that these attacks have nothing to do with Islam. He not only raised questions but also presented the answers. For instance, he spoke about the trading of arms and also mentioned that we must show respect when listening to one another. Another gentleman who was in attendance said, "Today we learnt that the terrorist attack that took place on Westminster Bridge a few days ago was not due to Islam, but was due to one person who was hiding behind a peaceful religion. Today it has become evident to me that the terrorist was completely insane and not a true Muslim." He further stated, "Your Khalifa has explained very clearly that every form of terrorism is wrong, and proved this through the verses of the Holy Quran. I also like the fact that when he said that we must not just focus on our present, but also look into the future, and instead of building walls that divide us, we must build bridges." Then a GP, who is also a church leader, said, "The address that I listened to was like a shining light that illuminates the path. It showed us that Islam is a great religion of peace." He further said, "The message was indeed very true, which is that we need to further engage in dialogue. It is true that instead of increasing enmity for one another, we need to tolerate one another's opposing views." He was also absolutely correct in saying that the world today is increasingly becoming more intolerant. A director of a company was also in attendance. She said, "I have previously met your fourth caliph, and therefore I have some knowledge of your community. Today, again, I have had the opportunity to meet him, and we really needed this address that we heard today, because we have been told that we should not place blame for everything on Islam and Muslims. Also, that many of the issues in the world today have been created by us, i.e. the Western countries." I also like the points mentioned by the Khalifa regarding the trading of arms. This is something where our morals disappear, and we give precedence to what benefits our businesses. She further stated, "I am hopeful that our government will take note of these things," and was extremely emotional after listening to the words and the prayers of the Khalifa regarding the future of the world, wherein he said that we should leave behind a world full of prosperity. But there was also a sense of worry that we may be leaving behind a world with a generation of children who will be handicapped. At this point, I would like to remind the members of the Jamaat that the current situation of the world is deteriorating rapidly, and a substantial amount of prayers are necessary. Major powers and even smaller countries are threatening to wage war. People such as leaders, politicians, and columnists who were once optimistic that a world war is a far-fetched prospect are now saying that it looks unavoidable. And in fact, it is becoming more and more likely. Amongst this, there is the current situation between the USA and the North Korea. Although China has intervened in an attempt to resolve this issue, these people are threatening each other about a nuclear war. Similarly, Muslim leaders are also committing atrocities in the same way, and now blocs are forming. Undoubtedly, the prospect for a war is increasing rapidly. We should pray to God Almighty to enable them to see reason. Furthermore, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih IV, Rahimahullah, once prescribed a homeopathy remedy to help in the case of nuclear war. The Jamaat members should now use this for at least 6 weeks. One medicine should be taken, and after that the second medicine should be taken, for which there will be announcement later on, which is carcinosin and radium bromide. Similarly, I will now present another statement from a Dr. Paulo Morris, who is a professor from Portugal, who said, "Having listened to your remarks today, it is evident to me that peace and justice are two synonyms, which have the same meaning, and it is impossible to have one without the other." He then further states, "There is a lack of justice in the world, and as a result, we do not see peace. Muslims cannot be labeled as terrorists or blamed for conflict. Instead, we should aim to find the root cause, which is the lack of justice in the world. I am pleased to hear that the Imam of the Ahmadiyya community spoke about Islamophobia, as people overlook this issue. However, it is increasing significantly." His statement that we should not throw petrol on the fire was absolutely true. We should show mutual respect and not mock each other. In addition to this, a professor from the Catholic University of Portugal stated, "The aspect I liked the most was that the words of the Caliph were supported with evidence. He explained using verses from the Quran that Islam is a religion of peace, and also using examples of the world, he demonstrated that one cannot blame Islam for every major incident that takes place. I also liked his statement that we should also take precautions for tomorrow as well as today." Then there was a politician who said, "Sincerity was visible from the words of the condolence." He then said that a world war seems to be an undeniable prospect. He stated, "I am hopeful that at least a world war can be deferred, as we have been doing so for the past 70 years. However, I do agree with the fact that once a war begins, it will be impossible to withhold from it. We must ensure justice in our dealings on a worldwide scale. And this is the message which I will take with me from here." These are just some of the sentiments that I have presented before you. In this gathering, more than 600 people were present, and all of them gave excellent responses. This was also covered widely by the media, the Associated Press, BBC Asian Network, New Statesman Magazine, NHK Japan, which is a big broadcasting corporation of Japan, Sunday Times, ABC, an Argentinian media outlet, ERT TV of Greece, 365, which is a national newspaper for Iceland, Southwest Television, Sputnik International. There were also a vast number of other media outlets, and total nearly 20 or 22. Likewise, there were a number of freelance journalists. Those that published this news in other countries included Austrian National Television, who broadcast an 8-minute segment. India Today TV also broadcasted this report. Italian newspapers also published this report, as did an Argentinian newspaper, newspapers from Latin America, Canada, as well as two newspapers in Spain. All in all, over 9 million people received this news through the publication in external media sources. Similarly, Portugal also published this report. the report of the peace conference was widely publicized, and through this, many parts of the world were informed about the teachings of Islam. Through social media, this coverage reached 3.8 million people. There were representatives of between 10 and 12 countries. Just as the message of the Jamaat is spreading rapidly, similarly, our opposition is also increasing, especially in Muslim countries. Specifically in Algeria, the opposition to the Jamaat has increased manyfold, and it is on the rise. I've already requested prayers for them. On the 24th of this month, there was a conference which took place in Algeria. They invited their former Minister of Religious Endowments, who told the Jamaat to give their views, which he would present to the chair of the conference. Initially, they organized a seminar to familiarize themselves about the Jamaat. However, later on, they decided that they did not wish to know further about the Jamaat, and instead, there were speeches against the Jamaat. They changed the subject of the conference to Qadiani Group, a sect formed by the British for their own interests. They presented the same age-old allegations as before. As for our point of view, they not only refused for it to be read out, but to the one who presented it, they said, "You are an intelligent person. Why have you started to speak in their favor when previously you were against them?" Nonetheless, when they spoke with the foreign media, they said, "There is no issue at all. We consider Ahmadis to be good citizens, and they are Muslims. There are no injustices committed against them. We have only taken action against those few individuals who speak out against the country." However, when speaking to their own media, they made the usual comments that they, i.e. Ahmadis, are not Muslims. They are rebels who have ties with Daesh, i.e. the Islamic State, etc., etc. Thus, the opposition is increasing due to the Salafis. Nonetheless, this was destined to take place. Because of the situation in Algeria, the locals there have said that the awareness of the Ahmadiyya community has increased as a result of the media coverage. And some people are interested in finding out more about the Jamaat. Our opponents have spread our message to those places where we were unable to do so. Nevertheless, a significant part of the world is being influenced by the Islam spread by the Ahmadiyya community. And some are even suggesting that Christianity should also learn from us. On the other hand, opposition from the Muslim countries is an ongoing process. Thus, as I mentioned previously, there is increased opposition in Algeria more than before. Pray for the Ahmadis living in Algeria, as well as the Ahmadis in Pakistan. Also, pray for all those Ahmadis residing in those countries where opposition to Ahmadiyya is boiling over, that may God Almighty protect all of them, especially those living in Algeria, who have not been Ahmadi for long. May Allah grant them steadfastness and swift.
Alhamdulillah, nahmadu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'uzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله إبعاد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.